activate the view screen, and turn on your universal translators, because it is time for another Galactic Netcast.
We interrupt this program to give you a bulletin just received from one of our naval units at sea. A large object traveling at supersonic speed is headed over the North Atlantic toward the east coast of the United States.
This Earth of yours will be reduced to a burned out cinder.
This could be the beginning of the end for the human race. Human beings cower before the onslaught of these unearthly enemies.
Hey, it's Thursday, September 26th, 2013. Welcome to yet another Galactic Netcast. This is the Alien Invasion, number 83 from Waterloo, Iowa. I'm Dave. Wally McNally Nelson joining me this evening from Wausau, Wisconsin. It's Brad Albert Ludwig and Anessa Gertie Grayson Moines from Denton, Texas. How are you guys doing?
Excellent.
Doing good. How are you?
Good. Explain the names, Miss Moines.
It's actually from my pick for this evening. I've chosen a webcomic, and those are some of the characters.
Ah, a little tease to things to come.
Yep, yep.
That's what that's called, a tease. You're a tease, Anessa.
Foreshadowing.
Foreshadowing.
Ooh, hey. Battling Inception sounds. Here we go. Well, I can do that, too. Hang on. Okay. Oh. There you go.
Yours sounds better.
Well, you know, that's what the ladies say.
All right. I'm confused.
As well you should be.
Oh, you're confused, Anessa? Maybe it's because...
I have to go pee a lot.
That could be. Why? You're confused. All right.
I do drink a lot of water.
Okay. Yeah, if you ever watch the video version of this show, you'll always see Anessa sipping on something. And sitting back in her chair relaxing.
Yeah, by the end of the podcast, I start in the center of the screen and then I'm in the back with my legs up in the air. So
Legs up in the air? What?
Oh, no. I mean, they're like stretched out and just crossed. It's not like I have my legs up in the air.
That's going on the soundboard next week. Thank you.
You're welcome.
This is the show where we talk about beings from elsewhere in the universe and their appearances in film, TV, video, games, comic books, science, and in real life. The show is divided into three sections. The news, that's the stories that we cover every week. The creature feature, the spotlight of a certain kind of alien, and our picks for the week for the audio subscribers. If you want to see us do the show live, you can follow us on our social networks, Twitter, Facebook, Google+. We'll let you know when that's going to be. Or just watch it after the fact at youtube.com/galacticnetcasts. So you
and welcome to all of the new people who have liked our Facebook page.
Yeah, Brad took it upon himself to do a little advertising, do a little promotion for the network this week, and we got a few more likes on that damn page. So good job, Brad.
Absolutely.
And maybe they will tell their friends, and their friends will like us, and they will listen to us and have a good time.
And the world.
And so on. And so on.
And then we will take over the world.
Yeah. All right. But before we do that, though, let's do this here.
In the news.
And I never get the first story. This is kind of weird.
Surprise.
So are you guys gamers? You guys play the games?
Once in a while.
Yeah, sometimes.
Biggest selling video game, I think, ever. Grand Theft Auto 5 released last week, sold a billion copies in like a, or no, it made $1 billion.
Yes.
In like 2 days or some crazy stuff like that.
It was like 1.7 billion or something ridiculous, I forget.
But if you are one of the people that contributed to that number, you may have found this or not. Hidden Easter eggs, aliens, zombies, creepy ghosts, and Bigfoot, all in Grand Theft Auto 5. I love when game developers do that kind of thing.
There's a lot of Easter eggs. I actually just cut it down to the aliens just because there were so many. I mean, there were from like San Andreas, like previous Grand Theft Autos. There was Red Dead Redemption Easter eggs. of course, there were zombies and ghosts and Bigfoot. There was like a ton.
Killer clown invasion.
Really?
So, yeah, just continue on with the story.
Okay.
A shining Easter egg, even? It's crazy.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's dig into this here. With many gamers already well on the way to completion, or already having done so, the Las Vegas Guardian Express team has been compiling some of the best Easter eggs, secrets, and cheats from across the internet on Grand Theft Auto V. And there are minor spoilers here, so be aware of that. Let's see. Okay, there's the extraterrestrial Easter egg. Extraterrestrial Easter egg. That means aliens. Mitchell Saltzman over at Gamefront has uncovered an Easter egg during the opening prologue to the game. After nabbing a getaway vehicle, the player is given the option to veer off the side of the road and drive along a frozen lake. Eventually, you'll come across an alien entity encased within the ice below. Unfortunately, your detour will cause you to fail the mission, but it's well worth checking out. So go ahead, die once just to see that.
Yeah, I think if I remember in the video, as you're driving along this lake or river or whatever it is, you come across the bridge, and it's like right under the bridge or just past the bridge. You like park your car and get out and walk around, and you look down and you see this alien just suspended in the ice below.
Cool. Okay, this is what Brad mentioned, alien invasion and killer clown Easter eggs. Okay, to experience the quote-unquote alien invasion Easter egg, you must visit Barry as Michael. You have to visit Barry as Michael at the legalized weed stand. As a pro-marijuana advocate, Barry hands out samples. And I have a tease for you. This is my pick for later on, the video that shows you how to do this. So we'll get a little bit more into this later on. Barry hands out samples as part of the mission objectives. You must then defeat an alien invasion, which is essentially a drug-induced hallucination. So they're not real.
they're still aliens.
Yeah, no, they're in your mind aliens. Likewise, to get the killer clown Easter egg, the player must return to Barry as Trevor. I love Barry. Barry's the pro weed guy. That's awesome. Barry, this Easter egg is virtually identical to the alien invasion variant, with aliens simply replaced with bloodthirsty clowns.
That would actually be really creepy to play through.
Yeah.
Like the aliens, okay, fine. It's an alien invasion, but creepy clowns? Yeah.
If you already have a fear of clowns, this is probably not going to help that at all.
You probably don't want to play as Trevor when you go see Barry.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Okay. The UFO Easter egg. Rockstar seems to have a fetish for aliens, which is good for us. As scores of alien Easter eggs seem to be floating around the net, the UFO Easter egg only materializes once you have 100% completed the entire game and traverse to Mount Chiliad at night. Chiliad? Okay. Lo and behold, in the night skies, you will identify a bright lit flying saucer. Another UFO sighting has been observed around Fort Zancudo near Mount Josiah. And there you go. Those are the Easter eggs, the killer clown and alien Easter eggs in Grand Theft Auto V. And, you know, if you don't want to buy the game and play it, I'm sure that you can find gameplay videos on YouTube already. Or Twitch TV. Right, Twitch is the big video game streaming video site, right?
And I'm pretty sure that there's going to, you know, Redbox will have it or their other...
Oh, they already do.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, so give it a try. It's available on all the platforms, right? PlayStation.
Oh, that's a good question.
It's got to be. Yeah, this is a mainstream game. Mainstream games are usually available across the board. All right. Cool. Fun stuff. I love when movies and video games do Easter eggs. Like, I bet you if you were to rewatch Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which premiered this week, you'd be able to find a few Easter eggs. Have you done that? I know, Brad, you watched it once, right? Did you rewatch it yet?
I watched it twice now.
Did you find any Easter eggs?
No, a lot of interesting mentions to other characters and things that I didn't quite catch the first time. But
yeah. Do you want to talk about that now or?
No, we've got a lot to cover in the next story here. So
okay, all right.
So, yeah, the next story is kind of lengthy.
All right, so let's move on. Brad, you've got that story. Go ahead.
I do. The question has been asked from a group of researchers in Sheffield, England. Have we found alien life in our atmosphere? Now, these researchers at the University of Sheffield believe that they have. They reported that tiny organisms that came back aboard a balloon that they sent into the stratosphere were too big to have floated up from the surface of our planet. But there are other scientists that aren't so sure. One such scientist is Dr. Seth Shostak. He's a senior astronomer at SETI, and he says that he's very skeptical. This claim has been made before and dismissed as terrestrial contamination. The researchers said they took precautions to avoid picking up bits of terrestrial life during the experiment. Microscope stubs on the balloon were exposed to the atmosphere only at altitudes of 22 to 27 kilometers. That's a little over or just under 14 miles to just under 17 miles. They acknowledge that there could be some mechanism for transporting large particles high into the atmosphere. But since no such mechanism has been discovered, they said, the next likely explanation is that the diatoms come from space. Still other experts say there's simply not enough evidence. They should try a lot harder to look at more mundane ways this beastie made it up there. And I'll show you what this quote-unquote beastie looks like in just a second here, if you're watching the video portion of the show. excuse me. Dr. Philip Plait, the bad astronomer, wrote for Slate magazine, "They dismiss other pathways, just stating they won't work, but I'm unconvinced." In other words, if they can't figure it out, it must be aliens.
Of course. What else could it be?
Not saying it was aliens, but it was aliens.
This God of the Gaps argument leaves me underwhelmed.
Whelmed.
Underwhelmed. Oh, wow. This is a great name.
Come on, Brad. You can do it.
Wickramasinghe believes the organisms found in Earth's stratosphere.
Okay, stop for a second. That deserves an applause. Round of applause.
Thank you. Believes that the organisms found in Earth's stratosphere may have hitched a ride aboard meteors from other planets, suggesting that life exists in other parts of the galaxy, as reported by the University Herald. Wainwright said the next step would be to perform isotope fractionation on the sample recovered from the balloon, essentially analyzing the ratio of certain carbon isotopes in the organisms to determine their origins. The team hopes to confirm their findings by repeating the experiment in October during the Halley's Comet meteor shower. I didn't know that that was a
thing.
Yeah,
I didn't know that we were getting Halley's Comet.
I don't know why they referred to it as the Halley's Comet or Halley's Comet meteor shower, because it's called the Orionids. But it's basically the Earth traveling through the debris that's left behind by Halley's Comet.
Okay, gotcha.
All right.
If life continues to arrive from space, then we have to completely change our view of biology and evolution, Wainwright said. New textbooks will have to be written.
Yes.
If the team compiles enough evidence to convert the skeptics, that is. Now, what does this alien life look like? Let's go to the board.
Show us, Brad.
So this is what came back with the from the balloon, the tiny organism that came back aboard the balloon that went into the stratosphere. And it's just a very, very small particle that was brought back. And
I can see its tentacles.
looks more like a penis. Sorry.
I was going to say a crumpled up grocery bag.
It does look like a grocery bag.
A crumpled up grocery bag with a penis.
It's a male. It's a boy.
It's a
Congratulations.
Boy. So, yeah, that is the contentious piece of debris that came back that scientists are saying either is or is not an alien microorganism.
All right, let's take a survey. Let's go around the room. Anessa, what do you think it is?
I think it's contaminants.
All right, Brad, you? What say you?
Not enough data.
All right. Yeah, I'm unconvinced too.
Well, the other thing too is in the story, which was really long, they also mentioned that I think this is the same group that claimed that there were fossils and meteorites, and that wasn't the case earlier this year. So they've been under fire before for crazy claims. So that doesn't really help their case. And they were published in, oh, I forget the name of the journal, but they were like one of the scientists in the interview said something like, yeah, that's not really a serious journal, science journal. I guess they view whatever journal that was that it's like the Weekly World News of science journals.
Okay.
Ooh. Slam.
Hey, wait a second. Don't be dissing Weekly World News.
But they're doing their research, but I think they're so eager to find something that they're just kind of like reaching and grasping for just about anything that could possibly be.
Yeah, yeah. So, we'll see what happens. Especially after that second test, they go up again. You know, if they find the same results, you kind of have to take that seriously. But I doubt they'll.
Yeah, if they can basically duplicate, like perform the same test and get the same results, then we might be onto something.
So they're claiming that these alien things are just floating up in the atmosphere or floating up in space.
They've apparently hitched. And that's the other thing that doesn't really make sense to me, but I guess there's extremophiles, but they're saying that they basically made their way down on meteorites from outer space. But whenever meteors hit Earth's atmosphere, they basically burn. And so I would think that any microbes that manages to survive would actually kind of survive the travel of space and go through the atmosphere. I'm not sure that they'd be able to survive that temperature change, or maybe they can.
Maybe they jumped off before the meteor hit the atmosphere.
They're like, thanks guys for the lift. This is our stop.
I'm out of here.
It's not a penis, it's a piston to shoot it off of the chunk of rock.
I like that. It's not a penis, it's a piston.
All right, so we would like to know what you guys think this is. Leave us some feedback. We have several ways of doing that. GalacticNetcasts@gmail.com. That's the email address. You can call our voicemail number. It's 805-328-3966. You can leave a comment in our forums section at galacticnetcast.com/community or contact.galacticnetcasts.com. Just go to the website, galacticnetcasts.com, and you'll find the proper links for feedback, including the phone number right there on the front page. All right. Our final news story of this episode goes to Anessa.
Yay! So I know a few weeks ago we were talking about the Gutens and how President Obama talked them out of invading Earth, and so they decided to go blow up some other planet. But apparently at some point, I don't know if this was before that happened or after, but the Gutens left something on Earth.
Was it blue? Blue stuff behind? Did they leave blue stuff behind?
No, it wasn't their goo this time. They left a bunch of rocks in Mexico behind.
Ooh.
I know. So the rocks were found in the state of Sonora. John Malley, the head of the UN panel on extraterrestrials. Some thought that the rocks had fallen from a dump truck. They were wrong. They fell from outer space. Some thought that the smell was gas, but it's not. It's a radioactive intergalactic substance known as gooboplasm.
What?
Gooboplasm.
All right.
I couldn't say no to this story once I read Gooboplasm. The UN is carefully going to study the rock. The U.S. military is getting involved as well. We are concerned that the rocks may be weaponized, so we are taking every precaution, said a representative from the Defense Department. The rocks contain phosphorite, a chemical chain reaction that could have ignited them as they were being subjected to friction. Phosphorus in rocks, or phosphorite, is usually deposited by sediment, dissolved phosphorus from continental weathering that is brought to the oceans by rivers and streams. So why did the Gutens drop rocks on Earth? Earth has been under attack by the Gutens since November 2011, said Dr. Malley. There has been a cover-up by all governments on Earth, and most citizens have not noticed because it has not impacted many populations yet. But there is an ongoing attack on Earth by the Gutens. Dr. Malley said that the UN is proud that they captured the Guten rocks. It is a major victory in the battle against planet Guten. So were the rocks on the move for them to capture these? Because I imagine they're just doing what rocks do when they just sit there. It's what I have to wonder. So apparently the Gutens are not actually gone then, if that's the case.
Hmm.
So.
Interesting. Maybe they move when you don't look at them, kind of like the weeping angels.
Maybe, like, you don't blink, and then, or else the Guten rocks will chase after you.
Yes. Yes. Can you just imagine watching rocks move, like, with tiny little legs that's maybe spurred out or come out of the rocks themselves?
It's either that or they're like little boulders rolling along the ground.
Yeah. Maybe that's how they do it.
Maybe. So, yes, watch out for these Guten rocks. Hopefully no one in the North Texas area reads this story and brings in a bunch of rocks thinking that they're from the planet Guten.
And their gooboplasm.
Gooboplasm.
I think that is the title of this episode.
Gooboplasm.
Gooboplasm.
Nice.
Is it the same stuff that the Ghostbusters had to deal with?
Ectoplasm?
That was ectoplasm.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, ectoplasm. I don't know. Maybe if there were more movies, then Ghostbusters would have eventually had to deal with gooboplasm.
I think that's the logical next step in the in that.
I like how you backed away from logical conclusion. Yeah. Phraseology there.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
The illogical conclusion.
Well played, sir. Well played.
Thank you. So the war with Gutens continues. I hope that we win. I don't want to be a Guten citizen. A Gutenite.
A Gutenite.
Yeah.
Or a Guten slave or something. Yeah.
Although at some point we may know what if they have a sports team, what that would look like.
This would be a good opportunity to talk about that. You've had a project that you've been working on for a while that I gave you, kind of. I gave you a task there, Brad. And it was to come up with logos for the Gutens and the Z-Bonds if they had sports teams. And you finished the Z-Bon Zeniths. And are you going to put it up on the screen?
Yes, sir. Just a sec.
And the end result is going to be T-shirts that we're going to have in our store.
Yep.
So there it is.
Here's a preview of what that would look like.
So if you're a fan of both alien species or either alien species, either Z-Bonds or Gutens, you can have your own team T-shirt or whatever from our store very soon. Not yet, but very soon.
Sweet.
Are you guys gonna take sides here? You're gonna.
Well, obviously, I'm gonna be on the side that's helping us out. So I would have to go with the Z-Bonds.
Yes.
Because the Gutens suck. They've been at this since 2011. And all they've done is drop sheep and drop goo and apparently leave rocks behind.
Yeah.
No. But you see, if we're pro-Guten, they're the most inept alien invaders ever.
So they would be like the underdogs?
They'll never get their crap together. So if they do like take over the planet, nobody will probably know about it because they'll be so inept at it.
Good point. What's the Gutens team's name?
The Guten Gravitons.
Gravitons, okay. And you'll have that one done soon, or?
Soon. Now that I've had this story, I've got an idea to finish it out. So.
Oh, cool.
I'm going to put rocks in it.
I cannot wait. All right, so there you go. That's the news. Carver, let's bring on more aliens. It is time for...
And now it's time for Creature Feature.
And Anessa, you prepped the show this week, so you picked the creature that we're featuring. So what is the creature that we're featuring?
We are featuring the neonates.
Neonates.
The neonates. And apparently this particular creature gets confused for the greys quite a bit.
Ah.
They are extremely intelligent and fairly short. They are about 3 to 4 feet tall and have a, quote, fetus-like facial appearance with large, oversized cranium. They are thin-muscled and spindly, have light gray to dark cream-colored skin. They have 5 digits on each hand and are reported to possess telepathic abilities. Neonates are often mistaken, like I said, for the greys, and because they have similar stature and they're kind of gray as well. But they their eyes are different from the greys. So eyes of the greys are large, you know, and they're entirely black and have no distinguishable pupils or retinas. But the neonates have eyes, like you can actually see pupils, and they're not completely black. They are large, though. So there's a difference there. And of course, the greys only have 4 digits on each hand as opposed to 5. So, it's also said that it was the neonate species that was reportedly involved in the Roswell, New Mexico UFO crash in 1947. So it wasn't a grey alien, or it wasn't the greys. And apparently, they supposedly abducted Betty and Barney Hill in 1962. So Betty and Barney Hill claimed that they were abducted by aliens back in the 60s. So they were this married couple. And apparently they were abducted by the neonates.
Interesting.
Yeah. They were the first alien or documented alien abduction case on record. And during that abduction, Betty Hill was told by these neonate aliens that they originated from the Zeta Reticuli star system. So.
All right.
The neonates don't really get credit for the things they do, just because everybody's familiar with the greys, so they get all the credit for the abductions.
I bet you they're always like, damn it, those greys, they took credit for our stuff again.
I know, they're like, we're actually like abducting people and doing things, and the greys get all the credit. That's so not fair.
We gotta step up. We gotta do something about that. We gotta... marketing. Yeah, marketing. Let's do some marketing.
They need a better PR firm.
Yeah. So do we know if the greys and the neonites are related somehow? Like similar DNA? Or?
That I honestly don't know. I'm guessing probably not, just because of their differences, maybe. I'm not entirely sure where the greys are from.
If you're watching the video, there's an image up on the screen. And Brad, where did this come from?
Conceptart.org is the name of the website. And this particular drawing, there's a number of different alien species like the reptiloids and the greys. But in the upper left-hand corner here is the neonates.
Okay. Do we know who drew these?
I don't have that information readily available.
Okay. That's good enough. So we know... We kind of have an idea what the neonates look like.
Yeah, so like with what Anessa was saying, where I'm kind of circling around here with my pointer is a gray with the black almond-shaped eyes, but the neonate over here, while it does have almond-shaped eyes, they do have a pupil and an iris.
Which makes a huge difference. Just seeing the black eyes is just creepy as hell. I mean... I think if I had a choice between getting abducted by the greys and getting abducted by the neonates, I think I would choose the neonates just because of the eyes.
I don't know. The reboot of Star Trek, the doctor that took care of Jim Kirk's mother as he was being born.
Oh, on the Kelvin.
She was an alien that had very large eyes. I found that to be a little bit more disturbing.
But if you had to see just black eyes, that would be better?
So fantastical to see eyes that were completely black and almond-shaped that I could probably mentally distance myself from it. But seeing somebody with large eyes with the pupils and irises that function properly would... I'd wet myself. I'm not too proud to say that. I would wet myself.
So, tip for all you people out there, if you want to freak out Brad, get huge fake eyes for Halloween and come to his door.
Yeah, wear like
no, but they would have
mask,
to like,
but do like the
they would have to function. They would have to like respond to light and dilate and.
Oh, I'm sure we could figure it out how to do
oh,
that.
Oh God, that
Hollywood
would,
could make it happen.
I would literally pee right on the
yeah,
spot.
Yeah, going back to the Greys, though, as far as where they're from, I honestly don't know because just glancing at Wikipedia, they have them listed as being from the Zeta Reticuli binary system, but that's because of what Betty Hill says. And so if she gets her aliens mixed up, then who knows where they're from.
Yeah.
That's true.
Good stuff. All right, let's do our picks, and mine was hinted to earlier. It is a video that shows you how to at least experience one of the Easter eggs on Grand Theft Auto V. It's the full-on alien invasion mode. It's the one where you have to go to the weed guy and get a free sample, get a sample and smoke it, and then you experience the alien invasion. I'm afraid...
There's the price of free.
Yeah, I'm afraid to call up this video on my computer because I'm having all kinds of weird... issues.
Oh.
So
let me do it.
Yeah, go ahead and do that, Brad. I don't know if they'll be able to listen to it, hear it.
No, you won't be able to hear the audio, but you will be able to see the video.
Maybe we can like narrate it a little bit.
So right now he's talking about where to go on the map. Once you get there, you need to get out.
It's a rad car.
Yep. And talk to Barry, the legalized weed guy.
He looks very professional.
Yes, extremely professional. And as you have a conversation with Barry, and soon he will be passing.
Great language.
There's subtitles, and we're laughing about what just popped up on the screen. So
he turns it down first, but then he changes his mind, I believe.
Yep. And now he's saying that this is a passport to Nirvana. And he takes it and puts it in his mouth, and Barry lights it up for him.
There he goes. Let's fire it up.
Telling him that it's a pure, mellow high. But I do get concerned about the monsters. What?
after he
smokes it. I'm sure it's nothing
after
serious.
After he starts smoking
but,
it, he's like,
oh, never let them get too near.
And now
suddenly it's an alien invasion.
Yep. Yeah. And now the aliens are coming, and he's got this huge weapon that just appeared in his hand.
Yep. It's like
it's like a minigun, like from Predator.
It's like a Gatling gun.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah. You don't really see the aliens too up close, though. They're always kind of in the mist.
No, because they keep beaming in. They look like xenomorphs, actually. I just saw a brief shape of a head.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are.
Yep.
And that's the Easter egg of the alien in the frozen lake looks like a xenomorph as well.
Right. Yeah.
Cool.
Apparently there's also like a Back to the Future reference Easter egg.
Yep. There's a 1.21 gigawatts at a power station. Eat death!
And then he...
He's just blowing things up as he goes.
And he eventually comes out of it, and he's like, oh, what just happened kind of thing.
Yeah.
All right, I think we've seen it.
Yeah, I think we've probably seen enough here. Oh, there, an alien got too close to him.
Yep. He's pulling out his pistol. I think that was a pistol he pulled out.
Yep.
Yep.
All right.
So we'll
that's
put,
enough of that. We don't want to ruin it for everybody.
Yeah,
so.
We'll put the link in the show notes so you can watch that for yourself. And that's my pick. This week.
Nice.
Brad, your turn.
So, I decided to not do a movie this week. I actually decided to do an episode of Amazing Stories. Ooh. Now, Amazing Stories was something that Steven Spielberg was the executive producer of. And basically, it was like Twilight Zone in a certain fashion. There wasn't like Rod Serling coming out and narrating the beginning of the story. It just, you went into the story. And each of the stories, and the show was like a half an hour long. Each story was something fantastical. And there were a couple that were alien related. And it just so happened that the last episode, because the show only went for two seasons, and the last episode that was aired was named Miss Stardust. And it was directed by Toby Hooper. Toby Hooper, who actually, he directed the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre, He directed Life Force, a really bad 80s.
Oh, yeah.
I think you did that. He directed Poltergeist, which is one of my favorite scary movies of all times.
Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome. If that movie was on TV growing up, I would sit there and I would watch it like every time.
And I don't want to get too far afield here, but Poltergeist, after you have a child, it becomes scary in an entirely different fashion.
Yeah, I can see that.
But he ended up doing this episode of Amazing Stories. Now, the interesting thing about it is that Weird Al Yankovic has a part in this episode.
Huh.
And it's a very interesting tale. It starts with a PR man walking into a bar, and he's talking with there were so many interesting appearances, but we're trying to find the name of the bartender. It's going to kill Rick Overton. Rick Overton was in Willow. He was one of he and Kevin Pollak were the two little fairies that traveled with Willow.
Oh, okay.
And Rick Overton has a comedy career and did some acting here and there on just projects that he wanted to get involved with. So there were a number of that guys in this episode. And the concept of this, like I started to say, this PR man goes into a bar, he's had a really rough time, and he starts talking to the bartender about his troubles, and he begins to tell the tale of a Miss Stardust beauty pageant that he got involved with that kind of went off the rails. And all right. He tells the tale of how he did his best to keep this thing up and running. And then this alien appeared, and he had like a cabbage head. They called him the Cabbage Man. That was kind of what he described him as. And the Cabbage Man was played by Weird Al Yankovic. And kind of how we have copyright, Miss Stardust is actually a pageant in the galaxy somewhere. And he kind of claims that if you only have humans in this pageant, obviously that doesn't work out. It's not going to.
It's like
you need to have extraterrestrials.
It's kind of like the whole the old
making
joke,
fun of the Miss Universe.
Miss Universe, yeah.
Yes. And later on, Mr. Universe comes into play, and that almost becomes a thing too. So there are three last-minute entries because a deal is struck that it will be an extraterrestrial. They will have extraterrestrials, and it will be three contestants: one from Mars, one from Venus, and one from Jupiter.
Okay.
And the looks of these aliens that are in the show, that I mean, they had actual prosthetics on actors, and one Miss Mars was actually looked like a really complicated puppet of sorts.
Okay.
Like fully sized, you know, like a 5-foot-tall puppet. It was just really, really fascinating. And they each compete, and the stakes are the planet. The planet will be vaporized if the wrong decision is made. So this unlikely PR man kind of has to protect the world, but he's still like this kind of scuzzy PR guy. It's really, really a fascinating tale, and well worth the watch. It had me laughing in many parts.
So the contestants parts. Better not screw up the whole question portion of the. Don't be a Miss Teen North Carolina or South Carolina or whoever she was.
There was really no speaking. It was they only had the performance part.
Okay.
You know, each of the contestants were performing something, and Miss Mars performed a dance. Miss Venus played a harp of sorts, and Miss Jupiter sang an opera piece.
Okay,
it was just really, really fascinating how they did the language, how they did the sounds of alien music without having it come across too cheesy. I mean, you know, this is the late 80s, 87,
yeah.
I believe.
Yeah, it's about 87.
Yeah, 87. This one aired originally April 10th of 1987.
I'm a little bit confused. If there's only one winner, then multiple planets will be destroyed then? Or is it like first and second place, their planets are saved?
The Cabbage Man demands that Miss Mars, Venus, and Jupiter all equally be crowned as first place winners.
Oh, okay.
And so the PR man has to kind of outwit the Cabbage Man and try to stop nastiness from happening. And
I see where this is going. All right.
Yeah, so. I don't want to give anything else away on it. It's a really interesting, complicated story. Not hard to follow, but it just there's a lot of individual pieces happening, and the PR man's trying to outfox the Cabbage Man for the sake of the planet, while also trying to ensure him getting notoriety as being the best PR man alive.
All right.
This was all of the Amazing Stories episodes are on Netflix, which is where I caught this. But I know that Amazing Stories is out on DVD, so folks can pick this up if they are so interested. And all the stories from Amazing Stories were really good.
My favorite really good. One was the bomber in World War II story. Remember that one?
You know, when this was originally aired, I only caught a few different episodes.
If you ever get a chance to watch another episode on Netflix, I highly recommend the World War II bomber episode.
As I was flipping through the episodes, I saw that and I paused for a second. I'm like, I really don't have time to watch that one. So I moved on. I actually watched another alien related one, but I think that we may have talked about it before. But
yeah, was it the one where the kid had the radio?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
He builds a super powerful TV antenna and pulls an alien signal from somewhere else.
It's like a game show or something, right? That he's watching?
Actually, it was like I Love Lucy, but
oh,
with these aliens.
Right. Yeah.
And they're 10 light years or 20 light years away.
And they come to Earth and yeah.
They love classic American television and they wanted to meet the stars that made them laugh.
And that was Fred what's his face from Fred Savage was in that, wasn't he? Wasn't that Fred Savage?
No.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Never mind.
Nope.
All right. Good job, Brad. Thank you very much. Awesome pick this week.
Thanks.
Anessa, you've got the final one. What is it?
It is a webcomic called Albert the Alien.
Sounds cute.
It is actually kind of cute. It's basically about this alien named Albert who comes to Earth on, think of it as like a foreign exchange program, but intergalactic exchange program. excuse me. So yeah, he comes to Earth to go to school because that was something that he's always wanted to do, is like actually meet humans and see how they learn and learn more about them. And so he starts going to school and he breaks out his school supplies, which are really technologically advanced. And he was like, the supplies do the teaching more so than the teachers. And so he's got like his desk that's, I don't know, just really high tech looking. And so there's, of course, in every school, there's a bully. And the bully wants to pick on the new guy. And there's one of the nerds, I guess, that he's picked on before. And she's like, no, you're not going to pick on the new guy because you're going to start this intergalactic incident and it's going to be awful. And so anyway, it's like eventually I think they go to lunch and they go to recess or whatever. And while they're like other things are happening in the story, Albert's school supplies end up like coming to life because they want to like take over the world. and so they decide to collect all of the school supplies in the classroom to basically defeat them and prevent them from taking over. But then they discover that they're inanimate objects. And so they assimilate them. And so you have like this big robot looking thing made from like desks and pencils and chairs and stuff. And I read chapter one, and in this little series or whatever, the main thing was to try to figure out a way to defeat this school supply monster. So, yeah, it's actually kind of entertaining. It's cute. It's a cute comic. So, yep. That's my pick.
All right. Good stuff. I was thinking while you were explaining the story, that would be a good campaign for anti-bullying. You know, you don't want to bully that kid because he may be an alien, and you might start an interstellar, you know, war.
Yeah, like this interstellar war between planets and stuff, and that would be bad.
All right, Anessa, thank you very much for your pick. That was awesome. Albert the Alien. I like that name. It's cute.
Yeah, me too. Oh, and I forgot to mention that it can be found at albertthealien.com.
All right. I don't know what we have for picks as far as putting stuff up on our website, because mine's a YouTube video. Yours is a webcomic. We'll put the link to the amazing stories up on our store at galacticnetcast.com. And by the way, go there. You can pick up our picks through Amazon, and that will help support the network. And then you can go to the store to pick up merchandise of t-shirts that we have, including the future t-shirt with the Zeban Zeniths that we will put up hopefully by the time this podcast goes up. We'll have that t-shirt up in the store. So all that can be found at galacticnetcasts.com. All right, you can subscribe too by going to the website or just going to iTunes and subscribing there, or better yet, Stitcher Smart Radio has us as well. But if you go through iTunes, please leave a comment, and a 5-star rating would be nice as well. And everything can be found at galacticnetcast.com. And don't forget also, I keep on adding on to this, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and circle us on Google+. That would be awesome as well. All right, let's wrap her up. And
don't forget the phone number.
Oh, yeah. Voicemail, leave it. 805-328-3966 is the number. 805-328-3966. Thanks for the reminder, Brad.
And they can text us at that number too, can't they?
Yes, they can. It's beauteous technology-ous. What? I don't know.
Sounds like like Glutimus Maximus.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
That'll work. All right, so final thoughts, guys, before we get out of here. Brad?
I'm glad that we had the Guten Rock story, because now I've got an idea to finish the design for the Guten Graviton shirt. So,
yay!
Yep, that was an awesome story. So I think I got a handle on it now.
Sounds good. All right, Anessa, what's yours?
I really like the word guboplasm.
And that is the show title. Thank you very much, Gutens, for leaving that for us.
Yes. Thank you for using or leaving your Gooboplasm rocks behind.
Yes, that's. I don't know what they.
Sounds like a really.
It sounds weird.
Yeah, it does. It does.
It sounds like a frat party gone horribly
well,
wrong.
Well, it's like, so the Zeebans left their balls everywhere, and the Gootans left their gooboplasm.
They're just trying to one-up them, you know?
Yeah. Like, and they'll leave their balls, we'll just shoot our gooboplasm everywhere and see what they think about that. Yeah, that's right.
And I have to wonder, like, why Mexico?
It's a hot spot for this stuff, right?
Apparently, I mean,
a lot of wide open space to land.
That's true. You don't. Yeah, I mean, there's some mountains and stuff, but yeah, I guess there's a lot of wide open space. But then maybe the Gootans could have been like, well, you can have Mexico. We're going to Alaska.
Maybe they were partying with the chupacabras.
Maybe.
And there's always like.
Maybe they left the chupacabras behind.
That could be.
They're the ones who left them behind.
Yeah. And there's always those big mass like UFO sightings over Mexico too, right? So it's definitely a hotbed for something.
Yeah. Most definitely.
So all
perhaps
right.
There's a lot of berries out there handing out free weed for people to try.
And that's a good place to end this. Thank you for joining us for another Alien Invasion. This is episode number 83. And until next time, we'll talk to you later.
Bye.
Adios.
Leave your hailing frequencies open and scanners on full, because another Galactic Netcast will be approaching your coordinates soon. For more information, go to galacticnetcasts.com.